Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, Liam Tolan joins us on the line to talk rugby. Liam, I'm sure you've been across all things Lions and everything that's been going on in New Zealand. And looking at the game yesterday in particular, much improved performance, I think, to the one that they put in their opening game. But Warren Gatland said afterwards there were a lot of positives to take from the defeat to Auckland. And I'm just wondering, what exactly were those positives?
Well, it's another game is the first positive. Obviously, when they touched down in their first game out, they struggled. And in vital parts of yesterday's game, they struggled as well. But that's very understandable. And I think one of the key positives is adjusting our expectation of these so-called warm-up games for the test series. In other words, having looked at yesterday's game, really enjoyed huge amounts of it. I suppose I adjusted my own expectations. Said, listen, this is really, we have to be serious about the tests. And whatever the Lions need to do in these upcoming fixtures, which are going to get far more difficult than the first two games, they have to take that on the chin to prepare for the tests. A little worrying when watching the game, coming up to the end of the first half, when the weather turned really, really nasty, it seemed that the Blues were really comfortable in those terrible conditions, and their passing and their ambition increased in that space of time, and that's when they came back and they eventually eked out that penalty when CJ Stander landed a slightly high hit, which resulted in a try. And that was the worrying bit. In terrible conditions, the Blues were extremely comfortable in and around the ball and what they were able to do, and having some of the players they had helped. So I think watching it in the positives is really what's going to be interesting over the coming games is tactically the Lions scrummaging is a real strength. And I know the line-out malfunction, particularly that very last one, that will improve hugely because you cannot expect a disparate amount of players to come in and under huge pressure and fatigue to be able to execute those fine margins. That will improve. So I think that the set piece will certainly improve. And I think the kicking game, I was a little disappointed at the Lions scrum half. This was the Welsh guy when he's just brilliant around the ball, around the base. His kicking was very, very long and wasn't contested. So I think certain aspects will be tightened up, and I think the Lions will start to use a tactic of field position and just grinding down there. I don't think they can go toe-to-toe with an offloading game because I don't think the Lions have that style.
Do you see them more being mitigating factors rather than positives in that it's just a question of how much leeway you're willing to give Warren Gatland and the players when it comes to talking about the jet lag, the lack of time together, the difficulty getting used to the conditions, the manner in which the sides they're up against have been together as a group for a significant period of time? At what stage do you begin to become worried? For example, if they lose again this Saturday and you've lost 2 from 2 against the Super Rugby sides and you haven't got near a test match yet, but yet you've been together as a group on New Zealand soil for the best part of a fortnight.
Yeah, but you just said it there, Dave. The best part of a fortnight is a ridiculously short amount of time. It's farcical. To put together a team for a fortnight and expect a line-up to function under pressure, to scrum to do with the breakdown, the penalty count, the tactics, to expect all of that to fall into place into a winning format is ridiculous. And I think that we've been conditioned when we watch the Lions, certainly in South Africa and in Australia, that they canter away with these easy victories. I think they've come across an opposition that are genuinely the best in the world, and they've been put together, although the Lions have the best of the home nations out there, with the exception of France and Italy, obviously. It is ridiculous to expect them to perform to the level that a provincial team in Ireland would do. And if you think that if Saracens went out there in their current form, you'd expect something way better from their performance. But if you just threw together the team as the Lions is, I think we need to temper it. So, like, it's only 15 days for that first test. What can Warren Gatland and his management and the players eke out in terms of a game plan with the best selected side to implement that game plan for that first test? And I'm conscious of the many Irish tours that went out to New Zealand in the past, and we're being beaten 50-0 or 40-something-10 on the run-up to those first tests. I mean, this is pre-professionalism and that. And they're being absolutely hammered. And next thing, they turn up for the test and they actually perform. Typically, that first test is of huge importance and no more different than the Lions. But I think when you've said it yourself, 2 weeks is ridiculous to expect a better performance than it's a stepped approach to that first test.
Gatland also said, Liam, after the game, I don't think there'll be much of a difference between the Super Rugby sides and the All Blacks. Strikes me as a peculiar enough statement. you're talking down your opposition for a start, and you're maybe sounding like you're a little naive, and that while each of these Super Rugby sides, yes, will have a sprinkling of All Blacks and maybe a couple of players who are on the fringes trying to impress enough to get into the All Black squad, surely the likes of Crusaders, the Highlanders, the Blues will not be a comparison to the All Blacks.
Well, was he referring to style or was he referring to personnel?
He was referring to the general strength of what they're facing as a opposition.
Yeah, and I think, to be fair to Gatland, a little bit of both. And obviously, he wants to temper expectations too. And Joe Smith, who has brought such amazing success to the Irish Shores, is always tempering ambition and always trying to lower the sights of the expectation, the supporters and the team, and then overachieve. And I think Gatland is trying to do that. I think he's reasonably accurate when he says that the provinces that they're encountering in terms of a style is as good as what the All Blacks play. And that's reflection of the internal structures of how the provinces and the top-down approach where all the teams play a similar game and they have that. There's no doubt the All Blacks are the best if you were to tug them all out. But I think in terms of style, there's certainly, Gatland can say that. And in terms of strength and depth, there is an argument that suggests, look at, these guys have just an abundance of riches. They have so many quality players. And if you look at the squad that was picked, the types of players that were left out of that All Black squad, I think it was the 33 players were picked. And you could easily go in and argue for many, many more players to be included in that. So there is an element of that. But there's certainly, Gatland looks like he's playing a clever game to temper the expectation of the support around the next coming matches.
You mentioned the game plan and the Lions formulating a game plan that they can take into the test matches and maybe the results against the Super Rugby side. It's not the be-all and end-all because ultimately this test will be judged successful or otherwise based on the three test matches. But do we not already know exactly the way they're going to play? It'll be upfront rugby, making sure your set-piece functions, line-out scrum, making sure the maul is functioning as you would like, a solid defensive line, not missing your tackles. We certainly won't be seeing anything like the try that was scored by Io West in the back end of the game against the Blues at the weekend, or on Tuesday, would have thought that just will not be something the Lions are capable of given their short stint together and given the history and the body of evidence that we have when it comes to analysing the way Warren Gatland coach sides play.
Yeah, and it comes down to personnel as well, and there's two, I suppose, indicators that the amount of penalties that were conceded, which is, if you just go back to the Irish context, like Ireland almost never conceded 13 penalties. The Lions did so against the Blues, who considered the double figures themselves on 11. Now, the conditions would have added to that, but all the personnel and the types of penalties that were conceded is because the side isn't functioning, what's the best way of putting it? It isn't functioning out of instinct. He's just making mistakes and they're second guessing and that kind of stuff. And then you look at the lineups, the selection. And again, I go back to Reese Webb, who I think is just an awesome rugby player when he's got a good quick ruck ball and lots of opportunity around him. But his kicking game was really, really. I always, when you put in a big box kick from scrum half, and Conor Murray is probably world class at that. You count the time the ball is in the air, but also you count the distance. And then you go, speed is equal to distance over time. And invariably, a Conor Murray box kick is contestable, whereas Reese Webb's consistently was not contestable. And we think back to that test in Chicago that Ireland won, and the first try that New Zealand scored was off a uncontested box kick that was just a little bit too far, and all of a sudden the All Blacks were far better than the Blues, counterattacked and scored a try. If you narrow down those opportunities and you play a certain style of rugby, and I think personnel is going to be interesting. Conor Murray now is the type of guy who would fit into that much better than Reese Webb. So all those little ingredients are going to start to find their feet in many, many ways. Who's going to be playing a 10 remains to be seen. But another layer to that is the style of defence that the Lions are going to employ. How are you going to prevent their back three from getting outside you? What style of defence are you going to use? Are you going to have your wingers flying up like Noel was really exposed? Jack Noel was exposed on a number of occasions. How are you going to prevent that type of isolation out wide? So those kind of things will take time to bed in. And there's still only 15 days. Getting the personnel right, and I think you've hinted at it there, David, the type of game plan Gatland has in mind is relatively simple, but you still need time. And like I feel for Rory Best, because when he stood on that, I think it was like a couple of minutes left in the clock,
yeah,
and it was a timing like that. Just that window there tells you everything. The automatic Slate comes out and says, ah, Rory Best missed his line. But the entire lineout malfunctioned in terms of the timing of it. Those things are very, very fixable, but they take time to actually get to fix, and you can. And one of the reasons why I was relatively confident when Ireland played Chicago, played the All Blacks in Chicago, is because the two All Black second rows were missing. And that changed everything. And even the All Blacks malfunctioned. They simply couldn't replace those two quality guys with a timing and a unit that could function under pressure. And it capitulated in many, many ways. The Lions are experiencing that now, but it will get better.
Is he the perfect coach for the Lions, Warren Gatland, in that you've described his game plan as fairly simplistic, but that's because really that's the only option available, that a coach has to bring a philosophy to the Lions given the congested nature of the tour now? And you said it was farcical, the what's been expected of these players at the end of a long season up against one of the best teams in the world and four or five of the best club sides in the world, that really that's all he can do. He can only bring this Warren ball, to borrow that lazy cliche, into this sort of an environment that anybody else who came with any more ambition or an expansive philosophy just is not the environment for them.
Well, I think that comes down to personnel. So if he picks, for example, an all-Welsh back three, which he could do, obviously those guys will be very familiar with the subtleties of what they're trying to do. So you look at that last try the Blues scored, and you look at the couple of offloads that led to the try. Like, you could train a team for 14 days, and that takes months to evolve. That the knowledge that your number 8 will take a certain line, he'll drift on a certain way and he'll release the ball, and then Sonny Bill Williams will run a certain line. That symbiotic relationship, it's very simple. It was a simple one offload. It wasn't in commentary they're saying, isn't this amazing? The actual offload was quite simple. But what was really impressive was the symbiotic relationship between the two. That takes months, if not years, to create.
Will Greenwood in coverage of the game said that was off the training ground, that move, albeit it looks very extravagant because there's two offloads involved, but it was actually something that would have been pre-planned, pre-rehearsed. And is that not something the Lions are capable of doing, a pre-planned offload, if you will?
That's where you get your personnel. That's why I'm hitting it. If you pick an all-Welsh back three or an Irish midfield or an Irish half-back pairing, they'll know how they operate. So in other words, if Sexton's playing at 10 and Conor Murray is facing a certain set of circumstances, Sexton will anticipate quickly what he's about to do. If you put like an Owen Farrell at 10, Owen Farrell might not be used to Conor Murray, therefore might second-guess him a little bit. Those fractions of seconds will lead to that. So those little offloads will happen if you get the personnel right. So ambition, like, we're not talking about globetrotter rugby. We're not talking, like what Sonny Bill Williams did yesterday, he was phenomenal, but it was pretty simple stuff. He ran hard, he got his hands free, and people knew to run lines off him, anticipating what he's about to do. That takes time for that to settle in, obviously. So the quick way of doing that is picking units or subunits that are familiar with each other. And again, back row is an example, but a really interesting example, like for the nerds, is who your tight head and who your tight head second row is. Because that relationship, like the Sonny Bill Williams offloads, the tight head and the tight head second row are equally as symbiotic. You can't just expect those two to function under pressure in a scrum that you need. And that's where you need those combinations of how they might work. And therefore, you can fast track into those things.
Okay, before we leave you, there's so much going on with the Lions and people are kind of so fascinated with this tour that it almost would have been passed a lot of people by that the draw for next season's European Champions Cup was made today. And as we expect, unless you end up with one of the Italian sides in your group, you're not really going to be in a position where you can look at the group and think it's handy. Ulster in there with Harlequins, La Rochelle and Wasps. Leinster have Exeter, Montpellier and Glasgow, and Munster have both Racing and Leicester again, and Cast replacing Glasgow as the fourth team in the Munster pool. For you, who has the most difficult assignment looking at it at this juncture, at this far out from the actual season, and who has the easiest, if you can even call it that?
Well, the first thing, this is probably the last time we'll have an Italian side in the pool stages,
yeah,
because the laws are changing and the rules of the competition are changing. That's the first thing. The second thing is that it's really interesting that there's no historical look back when you're putting together the seeding. So it's on the basis of what you do this year, which as a result improves your domestic league. So they're all the positives in that sense. Looking at the group, Clermont, Saracens, Ospreys and Northampton Saints, by God, that's a group to avoid. That's like, it's amazing the two finalists can end up back in the same group. You know, that's just the nature of how the competition works. Looking at at Munster really, like Racing are all over the place, it really depends what they do in terms of their recruitment, and they have the money to do that. So I think Munster should be in a reasonably strong position there. I think the Pool 2 with Claremont, Saracens, Ospreys and Saints is just appalling. And also Ulster, they have an opportunity there, as do Leinster. Exeter are relatively unknown at this competition. So that's going to be really, really interesting how they do. I think Pool 2 is one to avoid, and the Irish teams did so.
Yeah, I guess Exeter more known now given what they've achieved over the last couple of months, and maybe now that they have a Premiership title under their belts, they might feel they're more in a position to really have a go at Europe. We know what Glasgow and Montpellier can do, particularly at home. Like, it won't be easy for Leinster. It's none of these pools look likely to produce a runners-up, but I guess one of them has to.
Yeah, and of course, to be honest, the entire pool draw depends on the two middle matches you play.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the structure normally happens, you have your first game as away, your next game as home. The third and fourth games, they're the key. If you have that third game at home, and particularly if it's one of the bigger sides, you could actually win that, and all of a sudden that away game looks very, very different. Or, as Leinster did in my time many years ago, we were supposed to play Toulouse early in the competition, and because of the chemical factory explosion, the fixtures were reversed, and we played them at home and we beat them. And by the time we got to play them away, they were out of the competition. So when you actually play the tough teams, particularly the French tough teams, is very, very important, because if you play them last in the pool stages, they could be out of the competition, and therefore you've got a great chance. So
yeah,
the draw in terms of the fixtures when they're placed is as important as who's in your pool.
Yeah, timing can be everything. Of course, when I say they won't produce a runner-up, I mean a runner-up that will have enough points on the board to actually make it through to the quarterfinals. Liam, great stuff chatting to you as always. We'll chat to you again soon.
Take care, Dave. Bye-bye.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.